The frontman from Skillet, John Cooper, is my special guest today on Radio Chatter. As they tour with Korn and Stone Sour, John took a few minutes out of his busy schedule to talk to myself. We talked about a lot of things, including a special project that he'll be working on. I wasn't sure he was prepared to talk about this, and I knew nothing about it, but he brought it up, so we talked about it. Plus, his thoughts on the death of Chester Bennington. This one hit him hard. As well as albums that shaped his love of rock and roll, and a ton more today on Radio Chatter.
T-minus 10. 9, 8, 7, 6, 4, 3, 2, 1, and liftoff.
This is Radio Chatter with WRIF's own Meltdown.
Hey, thanks so much for checking out Radio Chatter. It's been a busy week, and it's only going to get busier. I've got Tommy Shaw coming up, Ray and Rob from Spread Eagle. And today, it's John from Skillet. This was an interview I wasn't really prepared to do. I got a call around noon at my house, and they're like, hey, do you want to talk to John from Skillet? John, I've said this before about other artists, but John is really, truly one of the nicer people in this business, as you'll hear from this interview. I mean, the guy is so happy, so full of life, just a good guy all around. They say, hey, you want to talk to him at like 12:45? I'm like, I'm still at home. I'm getting ready to leave for work right now. I don't have time. So anyhow, what happened was I said, how about 1 o'clock? They said, okay, fine, 1 o'clock. So I'm sitting in here waiting for John, doing some, you know, research to see what the guys from Skillet are up to. Of course, you know, touring with Korn and Stone Sour and the whole thing. 1 o'clock rolls by, 1:05, 1:10. I'm like, well, what's going on here? So made a couple emails, couple text messages, and lo and behold, John Cooper from Skillet gave us a call today on Radio Chatter.
Hey, this is John with Skillet here.
Hey, John, it's Meltdown. How are you, man?
Hey, I'm sorry I'm so daggum late.
I don't know. That's all right. I mean, you got things. You have things going on, too. You got a family, you got a wife, you got kids, you got rock and roll, you got everything.
Well, it's on our end. It's my fault. I had an hour and a half of interviews, and I thought that I had done the wrong one. I must have done the wrong one, like a big dumb moron.
Maybe you called the wrong station or just called just a wrong person. Wouldn't that be funny if you called somebody for an interview and it wasn't them? Like, you remember when Chevy Chase and a European Vacation, they went to the person's house and it wasn't, you know, they had no idea who they were.
Those were good movies.
I thought perhaps that you were just tending to that beard of yours. I wasn't sure. So
yeah. I had to do some beard play, but now I'm good.
All right, man. Well, we're up in a crank, and I appreciate you calling in. Hey, speaking of beards and stuff, you know, Johnny Chow is a really good friend of mine. He got engaged last night, huh?
Oh, wow. That's cool. Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, well, are you on? You're with the guys from Stone Sour and Korn. Maybe you didn't see the show last night. He proposed to his wife on stage, I guess, in Toronto.
Oh, that's wicked. No, I didn't know because we had to go over the border, so we ended up leaving. It was the only show. I haven't been there the whole night. We left early because we had to come back over the border, and so I missed it. So I didn't even know about this.
I got you. Well, maybe you'll have to give him some sort of, like, you know, beard grooming gift for you know, his engagement or something, or whatever you do. I don't know.
Yeah, give him some wax and some smell good stuff. You know.
I tweeted him out earlier to say I was going to text him later on, but I tweeted him and I started tweeting like, hey, congratulations on your engagement. And I'm like, I don't know, did dudes really congratulate other dudes on their engagement? I'm not even sure if that's even a thing. So I just said, hey, congrats, bro.
Hey, I think I think that's a thing. I think that, like, throwing a shower for a dude who just got engaged is a little weird.
Right.
But I think probably giving him a congratulations is probably good.
Yeah, you're brethren in beardom out there on the tour with you guys. So how's things going out there on the road?
Oh, man, it's awesome. Yeah, I've got no complaints playing in front of 10,000 people every night.
I'm sure you don't. I mean,
no, this is the kind of tour that bands, you know, fight and stab each other or trying to get the slot. You know, and I'll fight 10 grown men to get on a Korn tour anytime. It's going great, man. It's good to be out. I've been on tour with Stone Sour once before, and we're you know, good friends, awesome band. So glad to be back out with them. I think we toured about 5 years ago together. So it's good to be back out, but really enjoying the tour. And the fans are just, like, electrified.
Yeah. I was gonna say that must be about 5 years ago because, you know, of course, you know, Slipknot comes into play in the whole thing. But yeah, the fans, I mean, this is the time of year, summertime. People are cooped up all winter, especially when you're touring up the northern parts of the United States and Canada and stuff like that. So the fans really come out. I saw some video of you guys, I think from Flint a couple months ago, and you guys have like had like the stages that raised and stuff like that, and the smoke was coming out. It was pretty cool.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah. You know, we're still doing some, you know, production gags on the tour and stuff, which I really like. Our music is kind of quite, you know, theatrical or whatever. And some people say a little bit of theater. Anyway, I like all that crap, you know, on stage. It's kind of fun. And yeah, we're getting to do some of that. And I hope, you know, getting some new fans, because there's definitely people coming that aren't that familiar with Skillet, which is good. You want to steal those fans, or borrow. You want to borrow those fans.
At least for the time being, right? Yeah, you talk about, you know, the theatrics of your music and stuff. That's kind of true, because it's like some bands, you know, you hear their songs and you think about them like recording them in the studio or whatever. But there are some bands like you guys and like Star Set and like even the latest Styx album, I just talked to Tommy Shaw, where you can like, you know, envision the videos in your head while you're listening to the music.
Yeah. Some music is just different like that. I don't know if it's the dynamics of it, or, you know, like the ebb and flow, and it can be a little theatrical. And I think our music is definitely has its cinematic moments, and that probably comes from some of the era of music that I really love. I love 70s. It's funny that you said Styx, because I love that era of music, of arena rock and prog rock. Like Yes is my favorite band of all time, and Cheap Trick and Kansas and Fleetwood Mac, and there was that real kind of like very musical, you know, they were bands, and I kind of quite like that, and I try to throw some of that into Skillet, and hopefully create something that people, I like to have that roller coaster feeling when you listen to a Skillet record.
Yeah, you know, I've talked about this ad nauseum on my podcast, on my radio show and whatnot, but Johnny Chow got me back into vinyl over the wintertime, right? And so I've been interviewing guys like, you know, yourself at different things. So I'm interviewing Jeff Tate a few weeks ago, and he said something about Yes. I said, hey, you know, if you could front like an all-star band, what would it be? And he says, well, I'd have to front Yes, you know, just those guys, you know, nobody else, just the guys from Yes. And so then next thing you know, I'm going out and buying friggin', you know, Yes records. I bought Big Generator, which I love. I never heard before, never owned it at all, and I bought that. And then I bought the other one with the naked guy looking up at the skyscrapers. God, that record's so good. I just bought that over the weekend, and man, it's some really good stuff. So I would have never guessed that, you know, that those would have been kind of the albums that shaped your musical past.
No, you know, it's funny because I wouldn't expect people to, because Skillet's not a prog band. But when I first heard of those bands, because I was kind of a metalhead like everyone in the 80s. I loved Hair bands and Metallica and AC/DC and Bon Jovi and Motley Crue and all that. But when I really heard of like that classical era of progressive rock bands, I just went crazy, because I grew up playing classical piano, and I played in the orchestra and all through college. I played the trombone. I had a scholarship to college and the orchestra and stuff. So my brain's a little classical oriented. So you can hear it every once in a while in a Skillet song. In fact, you know, our new single that just came out, I heard that you guys added, which I appreciate.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the Resistance, there's like that section that comes back in the song, and it's kind of the most prog thing we've ever done. It's like complete King's X prog jam. And that was a little bit of me thumbing my nose at the label, because they didn't know I'd recorded that part, because usually I don't get to record that kind of stuff. So I put it on there, and I didn't tell my label about it. I just they said they recorded the song, and nobody heard it till it got mixed. And I just, you know, I feel like I won one here. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, you got to win every battle you can take advantage of, you know? And it's funny, because, you know, you said, you know, you're really not a prog rock band, but, you know, looking at a band like Stone Sour or Korn or something, you're definitely leaning in that direction as far as, you know, some of those bands.
Well, yeah, I think what a lot of people don't realize, a lot of metal you know, has some touches of prog in it. It's just, it might not be full on math rock, but you know, any drummer that can play the stuff that, you know, Slipknot does and Korn, and any drummer that does that stuff is kind of touching into progressive rock territory. And so, yeah, you know, I think what's cool about Korn is it's just so unique. And it always feels, when I watch Korn play, it's like the sky is the limit. You know, you don't know what's going to happen. And what, I mean, literally you hear things you've never heard before. And that's how I experience Korn anyway. So, yeah, I think that's the excitement of music. Try something new, you know. And we try to do that on, like, on our latest single, The Resistance. It's got a little bit of urban influence in the song. It's kind of got, it's a little bit of hip-hop on the back beats and the keyboards. But then it's got those really heavy guitar riffs. And why not? Try something new, man.
Now, speaking of new, do you guys have anything new in the pipe? Have you guys been working on anything, writing anything, or when you guys go out on tour and stuff, it's all done?
You know, we've been writing. We're not ready to kind of start turning songs into the label. We're still a little early for that. But we are writing for a new project and already demoing. And I'm working on a couple of other secret projects as well that is kind of fun, and getting a lot of writing. So we're always recording in our bus, always writing wherever I am. And you know, I get inspired because I get inspired by the fans. You know, when I'm on stage and I see what the fans are singing back to me, and or they give me notes, you know, they write notes to you about what they're going through and how a song helped you. That stuff really fuels me to want to write more music. So I usually end up writing most of my songs while I'm on the road.
Now, you said a few things right there I don't want to let pass. First of all, your fans hand you notes, and they, or are you talking about like on Twitter or Facebook or something like that, or physically hand you notes?
Well, both. Yeah. Well, I meant physically, but yeah, sometimes it'll just be on Twitter or Facebook message or something. But a lot of the time, even while we're playing a show, I'll see people in the front row like holding up paper, and I grab it and I see it's a note on there for the band, and I put it in my pocket and we read it, you know, in the bus at the end of the night. And there are all these incredible stories. It's amazing. I'm like, man, I had no idea that my song would ever help. I met a guy recently. He checked himself into rehab. One of our songs helped. He said, that song made me realize I needed to check into rehab. I got off of drug addiction. I've been clean for 4 years. I got my kids back from social services. I got a job, and my family's here, and it's because of your song. You know, dude, that's intense, man. You know, that's just something you never imagined your song would do. So I love that stuff, fuels me, and then it makes me want to write more, and I'm lucky.
Yeah, that's pretty intense. You're right about that. You said something about a secret project. Now, I don't want to, you know, pry too much, but give us a hint. Give us anything.
You know, I have been wanting to for about four years. I have played with the idea of starting something on the side that's its own project. It's nothing to do with Skillet. There's a different sound, you know, maybe something heavier and meaner, and something that I could do. I could legitimately go out and do a Slipknot, you know, run, or a Metallica run. Well, everybody wants to do a Metallica run, but you know, you get my point.
Yeah.
You know, something that lives in the metal world, because that's a side of me that I really love that we don't get to touch on very much. And it looks like I'm going to be able to do that now. So I've not been talking about it yet because it's still in the works, but you know, why not? It's not like it's government information or anything.
Yeah, that gets leaked out everywhere anyway, so what's the difference?
As soon as I said it, that's exactly what I thought.
Hey, not to bring the room down too much, but you talked about how, you know, music inspires you and helps people, and you're helping people as well. And I saw your post the other day with about Chester Bennington, of course, after his passing. I talked to you right after Chris Cornell died, you know. And I guess one thing is that I find it hard to believe that you never had a chance to meet Chester Bennington in all these years. And secondly, have you had a chance to help any musicians in the past that may have, you know, been going down this road, or have you had a chance to talk to anybody?
Sure. Yeah, what a hard couple of years it's been, right? For all of this, just so many of our heroes. You know, yeah, I never got to meet Chester, and I was a huge fan. I never met Chris Cornell either. But Linkin Park's on my favorites of all time, and it was just something I never expected, because funny enough, I think that Chester's music has helped a lot of people that felt that way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think you're talking about hundreds of thousands of people that would say, I had hard, dark times in my life, and Linkin Park's lyrics made me feel not alone. So that's probably why those lyrics were so powerful. And to answer your other question, I mean, I wouldn't say anything specific like, and nobody's called me as they've been like holding the gun kind of a thing.
Right.
But, I do have relationships with people on the road, and we do talk about real stuff. The thing that I could probably relate to more, friends of mine on the road that have talked to me about their abuse of drugs, abuse of alcohol, and things that they really need to change, and they feel like they're going to die if they don't change their lifestyle. So not really a suicide. It's a bit more of a, I need to change my life because I feel out of control and I know that I'm going to die living, waking up in a hotel room. I have no idea what city I'm in, things like that. And I have talked to friends about that. Tried to be there for them, come hang out in our bus at night. What's hard enough for bands is that you play these shows and you're so energized after the show, you're so pumped up that you can't possibly go to sleep for a few hours, The adrenaline that you feel, it's almost like having a really hard, you just ran a marathon, and right after the marathon, you don't want to go and go to sleep, And it's a little bit like that adrenaline. And a lot of times people are like, what are you doing in your bus from 12 to 4 a.m.? All the bands are partying. So I say, come hang out in our bus. We'll watch movies. We'll talk. We'll hang out and have some fun, and you can kind of try to stay away from those things that you feel are kind of your demons, if you will. So yes, we've had those kinds of talks. I do think it's important that bands get out here and talk to each other, because it can just be a very strangely like isolating lifestyle. You're kind of on stage, and but the stage stuff isn't really real. You know what I mean? It's a little bit, it's kind of fake, and because no one out there, and no one in the audience really knows who you are.
It's kind of surreal.
It is surreal.
Right.
You're putting on a show and you're showing them who you want to show them. And then a lot of the bands, they get backstage, they don't talk, some of the bands we tour with don't talk to each other at all. They're on bandmates. They never hang out. Don't have any idea what's going on in their lives at all. And, I think that's not really very healthy. So I try to help create an atmosphere with the bands I tour with, open door policy. Anytime you want to hang out, and I go, I knock on other bands' dressing rooms. Hey, and how's it going? I come in and talk, and sometimes it's welcome. Sometimes it's not, frankly. But, hey, we're all in this together, So it's important stuff.
Yeah, you seem to be like one of the guys in this business that really has your head screwed on right. And there's a lot of them out there like that, but there are bands that have gone, I've seen it because I've been in this business a really long time. And I've seen bands that have gone down into the doldrums, alcohol, drugs, whole thing. And then they get out of it and they're hooked on, exercise and different things. And they come back out. And then, it's funny because you're talking about how you never got to meet Chris Cornell and never got to meet Chester Bennington. And yet you look at a person like you that's playing in front of 10,000 people, you think, man, this guy's got it all. And I've had a chance to meet both those guys. And when Chester Bennington died, I'm like, he's one of the nicest guys I ever met in this business. I couldn't even believe it. When my boss came in and told me, I was like, that's like mind blowing. It's like the guy's so nice. You think everything's good. But then again, you don't know what's going through somebody's head.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's true for, a lot of people, unfortunately. And so that's why when I wrote that post, I don't usually do that stuff, but it just kind of hit me, and I had so many fans. Skill and Linkin Park have a similar fan base, I think. It can be, kind of quite young, and so many fans going, why did this happen? And I just thought maybe it's good to encourage people that are feeling lonely, that are feeling dark. They are nice people and have friends, but maybe don't always fully open up. Find someone to open up to, whether it's whether it's a best friend, your wife or girlfriend or whatever it is. Find somebody that you can open up to,
Or the lead singer of Skillet.
or me. I'm here, man.
That's right. Yeah, it's kind of funny you mentioned, back in the day when we were growing up and stuff, it's like if something like this were to happen, you wouldn't hear from the rock stars for like a month, and it'd be later on in Hit Parade or Magazine or something like that. Nowadays, you have that luxury where instantaneously you can go out there and maybe even, soothe the fears of your fans and maybe comfort them a little bit via the internet right away.
It's unbelievable. And to tell you the truth, I'm still – so many fans were so thankful that I wrote something. And I almost did it because I – it's probably because I'm of an age that I didn't grow up with the internet. And so I still kind of think nobody cares what I have to say on this thing. nobody cares, you know, what I'm having for lunch, you know, but I guess people do. And like you're saying, the immediacy of I'm sending a thought out and maybe it can help somebody. It's very important. And it's important for me to even remember that people want me to see what I have to say about this stuff. And if you can help a little bit, help one person, then it's worth it.
Yeah, that's cool. That's awesome. Well, listen, what do you guys got going on in the future? You're going to be here in the Motor City, of course, in a few days. And you got this tour with Korn and Stone Sour and whatnot. What do you guys plan for the fall and the wintertime? Anything?
Yeah, we're doing a headline run out to the West Coast on a tour called Positive Hits. And that's going to be pretty fun. And that's going to go all the way to Thanksgiving. And then we have December off, which is going to be beautiful.
Yeah.
So we're writing, doing some demos, and, you know, probably start working on a record sometime early next year is my guess.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what, after I get off the phone with you, I'm going to call James Hetfield and see if you can get another tour with them. And
yes. Yes, please.
And you have to promise me to go, you know, and give Johnny Chow a big hug for me and congratulate him on the engagement.
I'll say congratulations. We're not going to hold a shower for you, but congratulations.
Yeah, tell him Meltdown from Detroit wanted to hold a shower, and I talked him out of it.
I'll give him a tiny beard comb.
There you go. I got the new record, you know, a month ago or whatever on vinyl, and I was listening to it, and I'm just looking through it, and Johnny thanked me on the album cover, and that was like one of the coolest moments, you know.
Sick.
I was like, yeah, it's like pretty cool. It's like, you know, you like to hang out with people, and you like to think they're really nice and stuff, and then when they do something like that, it's above and beyond. It's like, it's kind of a little mind-blowing sometimes, you know, but he's such a great guy.
That's awesome, and it's even awesome for people of you and my generation, because we grew up actually reading the liner notes, you know, and an album wasn't an album without reading the liner notes, right?
Right, exactly. You gotta take in the whole experience, and I guess that's why I'm back to vinyl, I suppose, so.
Yeah, probably so. It just sounds awesome. It's got that natural distortion that's really cool.
And you know what? There's something magical, and I didn't even realize this until someone pointed it out to me. There is something magical about putting the needle down on it and just having the grooves send music through your speakers. I mean, it's just kind of amazing.
Oh, yeah, it is. I totally agree. I grew up that way, too, man. I remember whenever I think of vinyl, I mean, I had, you know, I've got hundreds of records, but when I think of vinyl, I think of Boston. Because
yeah,
that Boston record, when More Than a Feeling came on, I don't know, man. I that's just what I think of when I think of vinyl. It wasn't even my first, but man, that record sounded good. I would put it on, and oh, yeah, it's a great time, man.
My first record I bought, I listened to my dad's Beatle records and whatnot, but the first record I ever bought was Ride the Lightning. What was your first?
Ride the Lightning has become this funny because the Black Album, you know, as we call it, the Black Album,
right,
of course, is one of my favorite records of all time, hands down my favorite Metallica record. And in December of last year, something happened, and I called my best mate growing up. I said, man, you're not going to believe this, but Ride the Lightning has just overtaken the Black Album for me. That record is sick. I don't know why it took this long for me to decide that. It's just so heavy and so fast, and man, I love that record. My first album I ever bought with my own money was Def Leppard, Hysteria.
Hysteria, okay, there you go. Yeah.
Which is still one of the greatest of that kind of era. I mean, where they have six radio hits on that record or something crazy.
And I think it sold millions and millions of copies. That might have been by far the benchmark for Def Leppard, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think over 15 million, if I remember reading it correctly. That was a great album.
And do you remember you remember growing up, those guys used to play in the round, and apparently there was all these stories about, you know, under the stage, the girls would be naked, and so, you know, hearing all this stuff, yeah. You know?
Yeah, apparently that's true.
Right.
I know someone that knows the band, and, like, all that stuff you heard was all true. So, you know, there you go.
Yeah. Well, John, really great to touch base with you. We'll see you this coming Sunday. Hope to. I'm going to give your beard a tug, and I see you and you know, no, I won't do that. I'm just teasing you, but thanks so much for the time, and good luck. We'll see you here in the Motor City.
Have a great one, brother.
John Cooper from Skillet on Radio Chatter today. Couldn't be a nicer guy. I mean, it's so much fun to hang out with those guys. And, I mean, just super nice people. He loves the fans. I mean, I've seen him do more for the fans than a lot of bands. So, full props to John and his wife, Corey, and, of course, the entire band of Skillet. Great people right there. Hey, Tommy Shaw from Styx is coming up on Radio Chatter. I think I'm going to post that tomorrow. They've got a new record out. It's called The Mission. And I got to tell you, man, it is 42 minutes of kick-assery, if that's even a word. Anyways, rate this, star this, give me a review if you could, share it with your friends, as always, and as always, punch me up on social media too, Meltdown WRIF. I do appreciate when you guys reach out and connect with me that way. Okay, a lot of Radio Chatter interviews yet to come, so please subscribe as well, and once again, thank you so much for checking out Radio Chatter.